as we transition, kids can be dismissed for kids' church from kindergarten up through fifth grade, but it is the new grades that you're going into this fall that count. So if you're going, no, not just kindergarten, even ages five through fifth grade. So you guys can head to your classes, and I invite you all with us to turn to Philippians chapter 4. And we're going to be in verses 6 and 7 today of Philippians chapter 4. Do not be anxious about anything. Whew. But in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. This is a dynamic passage of Scripture. It's one that I've had memorized for years and years in my life. I imagine many of you have as well, if you've been walking with the Lord for a while. This is one of those Scripture passages we need to grasp and understand and put into practice. Well, they all are like that, right? But this one especially, because it hits home right where we live. Do not be anxious about anything. That is a statement only the Bible can make. It is so countercultural to our experience in this world, isn't it? How many of you in this room get anxious? If you didn't raise your hand, you're lying. We get anxious about things. We have things that come into life that are stressful, that cause us to worry, that cause us concern. And they can become debilitating, can become controlling. It can become a kind of thing that grips our hearts when anxiety builds up. In fact, in our country, 1 in 5 adults struggles with some sort of an anxiety disorder up to that kind of level. There are all kinds of things that we may worry about in our life. A little audience participation here. I'd like you to give me feedback. What are some things that you might be tempted to worry about? Actually, let me rephrase that. That someone might be tempted to worry about, so that it's not like it has to be like personal confession time for you. What are things people would worry about in our day and age? Money. Oh, yes. What I'm going to have for supper tonight. Yes. I'm always worried about that. I don't know about you. Health. Yes. All kinds of things related to health. Crime. Yes, absolutely. Children. Children, even when they're grown, right? Okay? School, yes. Projects, tests, all that kind of stuff. Homework, yep. Relationships, friendships, family relationships, the neighbor that is giving you problems, right? All kinds of relationships. Growing old, yes. And all the things that come with that. Very good. Health, yep. I think we got that one of our condition, our health. It can be bad health. It could be the health of somebody else. Good. Oh, will my friends still accept me if I tell them about Jesus? How do we live out our faith? How do we share our faith around others? Very good. Salvation. Sometimes, if we haven't gotten that settled in our heart of the promises of God and how the gospel works, or what, you know, how do I trust Jesus as Savior? Sometimes we worry, am I saved? Am I not saved? Very good, thank you. There's lots of things. It could be a million things. It could be like, hey, I'm just anxious to go out in public sometimes. Or to go out in public without looking stupid sometimes, because I've done that before. Or say something that you're like, are they going to walk away and be offended by what I just said? Do you ever worry and replay the conversations in your mind of all of that? There's so many things, a million reasons we could be worried about things. Now, let me flip the coin here and just say there is a place for an appropriate kind of concern. So in our lives, there may be things that are a burden that you have on your heart, or you see something that's not right and you feel the concern for that, or there's someone where something's going wrong in their life and you have that concern. And so there's a place for a certain kind of anxiety. Let me put it this way, for your body itself. If you sat around on the couch and you were a couch potato completely, you never did anything, never got up and walked around, never did anything physical, what would happen to your body? It'll actually get worse, right? It'll decline because you're not putting any sort of strain or stress on it. Our muscles need that in order to grow stronger. So our souls are the same way. If we have nothing that we care about in the world, something's wrong, right? We cannot sit, live in a kind of way where you're just like, well, whatever happens, it doesn't matter. Don't worry. Be happy. Play some Bobby, what's his name? McFerrin or something like that. McFerrin. Now in your head, you're going to have that going. It was the goodness of God. Now it's don't worry, be happy. I'm so sorry. We should be concerned about things. The Apostle Paul said that daily he felt the pressure of anxiety for the churches that he had planted, concerned for their health, concerned for their well-being. He would pray for them. And that kind of worry and concern in a healthy direction moves us toward action and it moves us toward prayer. It motivates us in life. So there is an appropriate place for that. What we're talking about is the kind of anxiety where it begins to really weigh on your back. So imagine you have a backpack on and you pick up a rock and you're like, okay, I got to carry this now. I guess that's gone wrong. So I'll put that in my backpack and then there's this and this is going wrong. And so I'm going to carry this and I pick up another rock. And before you know it, your backpack is full of rocks and you're walking around like this. This is not how God intends us to live, where we carry it and it's all up to us to fix it and it's overwhelming. That kind of anxiety has physical effects on us too, doesn't it? You'll feel it down in your stomach. You might get sick to your stomach. You would feel it in your neck and in your back and you're all tense. Sometimes you can't sleep at night. All kinds of things. And it actually produces things in our soul too that we become bitter or we become angry or easily frustrated. Someone says something and we react way bigger than we should because they're like, what in the world's going on with you? And it's really your anxiety, right? So this is a problem. Do you guys ever play the what if game in your mind? Like, what if this and this and this and this happens? Ironically, most of it never happens, right? But we do that in our mind. Well, what if I take this step and then this and this happens and it was really the wrong decision? Or what if so-and-so gets sick and then if they do, then it's going to turn into this and it's going to turn into this? And so we do a lot of what ifs in our minds. And the reality is we can't control all the outcomes of life. At some point, we have to be able to trust them over to God. There was a time about 10 years ago, Lisette was trying to get a hold of me. She called me like 15 times in 1 hour. Where are you? She's leaving messages, and I had left my phone in my office. I didn't have it with me. And she's trying to get a hold of me. In her mind, she's going, it's the worst. You know, I hope he's okay. Maybe he's like stuck in a ditch somewhere. Can't, you know. Now, granted, it was during a thunderstorm. She wanted to get a hold of me. Granted, she was at home with the kids by herself. They were young. Oh, and granted, there was a tornado warning going on, and one had actually touched down at about 10 miles from us. And granted, I was on the roof of the church, not this church, the previous church, with my other pastor watching the storm come in, and we were having a blast. But here she was with all the what ifs in her mind. This is what we do. We play out all these scenarios in our heads. Another reason we have anxiety is because of the complexities of life. Sometimes so much comes at you too fast, and it's hard to process it all. Some things are easy to process. Some things are really hard to process. They take days, weeks, months, years, and it sits on you, the burden and of whatever it may be. Sometimes you just have so much to do as well, and your daily list feels like you need more than 24 hours in a day. If cloning was a thing, you would be cloning yourself so that you could have multiple of yourself to do all the things that you have to do. Sometimes the things you have to do involve conflict or grief, and it's just so hard to process all of that. And it builds up in our lives because we can't even process it all in one sitting or one day. There's just no way. And so it feels like it's a flood. There's floodwaters are all around you. In fact, you can read in the Psalms, David talks about the floodwaters, that if he feels like he's going to drown, if you've ever felt like that before. Tell me that there's a relief valve to drain the flood of anxiety. Is there such a thing? Scripture tells us yes. Yes, in Christ, there is relief from the flood of anxiety. In fact, it's rooted in the character of Jesus. It's rooted in the gospel. We talked about that earlier, how kids this week prayed to receive Jesus. They recognized, okay, I am sinful. I have not measured up. I cannot measure up to God and to what is right. And so I need him. And I cry out to Jesus, come and save me based on what you did for me on the cross, because you died as the substitute for my sin. Please come and save me. And when we cry out to Jesus like that, he comes and he rescues us and he saves us and redeems us and lives inside of us, cleanses us from our sin. That's the gospel. And it's a wonderful thing. If you've never received Jesus Christ as your Savior, cry out to him as your Savior. Many of you have a point where you can remember, at least maybe in a stage of life where you know you did that. And you've trusted him, and that's the foundation of your relationship with him. But don't ever in your mind put that and say, okay, well, that's what I did then, and I put that on a shelf. Scripture says in the book of Colossians, it says, just as you have received him, now walk in him. The same kind of way to realize that even right now in life, I am limited. I do not have what it takes. I cannot face the next day. I can't face the next hour. I can't do this all on my own. So we cry out to him in his mercy, in his grace. Oh, Lord, I need you. And that kind of a prayer, Lord, I need you. I am dependent upon you. Will you come and will you take this and will you lift this? This is the gospel that we get to live in the rest of our life, that we have a Savior who cares, a Savior who is big enough. He's more than enough for our salvation to cleanse us of our sin. He's more than enough for every need and burden that we will ever face. Praise God that he cares for us like that. This is what this is rooted in. So as we're going to look at the promise that we're given in Philippians 4, remember, root this in the heart and character of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the gospel. Do not be anxious about anything. We've talked about that. But in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. We're going to unpack that together. So how do we move forward? What is that relief valve? Prayer and petition. Prayer and petition. Is there anything too small to tell God, to talk to him about? No. He is not somehow too busy for the smallest concern. It's not like because there's 7 billion people on the planet that he can't track with your details of your life. It's not like the phone is ever busy when you try to dial up with God. He's always available personally for each one of us, no matter how small it is. Is there anything too big for God? Absolutely not. My God is so big, so strong, and so mighty, there's nothing that he cannot do. There is no concern. It's not like you talk to God and you pour out your heart to him and tell him all the things that are going on, and he goes, oh, I can't believe it. Did you hear what Maria just prayed? I didn't know she had all that going on in her life. How are we ever going to deal with this? Has God ever been worried a day in his life? No. He's omniscient. He knows all things. He's omnipresent. He's everywhere. He's omnipotent. He has all power. Nothing will ever threaten God, make him feel somehow thrown off by anything that you could ever give to him. so we can pour out our hearts to God. We can trust him that he knows all of these things. I love that idea. Jesus has never been worried a day in his life. And so if you're feeling bound up in anxiety, he knows it, and his invitation is, hey, come to me. Come to me. And the nearer we are to Christ, the more the anxiety fades. So let's talk about that. Prayer and petition. Are those the same or are they different? What do you think? Are they the same or are they different? In fact, you may, if you're from King James background, you may go, okay, prayer and supplication. Why aren't you using the word supplication? It's the same idea. There's a slight difference between them. Prayer is more of the general idea of communing with God, talking with God, spending time with God, that you are telling him thoughts of your heart. It may take the form of asking him for things. It may take the form of thanking him. It may take the form of praising him, surrendering to him, confessing to him. It's kind of the broad category of talking with God. Petition or supplication is the idea of a heartfelt need that is personal or urgent that you need to take before the Lord. You're interceding before God about something. So we're invited to come with prayer and supplication or petition to ask of God for a need that's on our hearts, that's personal or urgent at any time. This is what we're told to do. Don't be anxious. Don't do this. Instead, do this. I would love to tie a string around my finger. I wouldn't do it for practical reasons, but to remind me to pray. Remind me to pray, because sometimes, while it sounds so simple, hey, pray, it's one of the last things often that we do. Sometimes our faith instinct kicks in right away. We remember, oh, I need to pray right now. Other times we worry, we think it over, we get consumed and all that, and we forget to pray. You know that if we forget to pray, or in our hearts we just don't feel like praying, then either we have figured that God is smaller than he really is, or that he doesn't care very much. And both of those things are wrong. Both of those are lies. God is big enough, and he cares deeply for us to come with all of the concerns of our hearts. In fact, sometimes we may live like we're functional atheists. What does that mean? Well, we say with our mouth, because we know it's the right thing to say or believe, that God exists and that he does care and he's there. But we live in a way that's completely different than that. Our actions show we really aren't trusting God or believing God right now. I say I trust him, but I'm living like an atheist. Our prayer life shows a lot about what we're believing at that moment. In fact, D.A. Carson, who's one of my professors in seminary, he's written a ton of books. He said this, and he has this little British accent, which I'm going to try to impersonate. He says, I have yet to meet a chronic worrier who enjoys an excellent prayer life. I have yet to meet a chronic worrier who has an excellent prayer life. They just don't go together. Martin Luther said it this way, pray and let God worry. I like that's a little simpler. But he was German, so I don't know how to say that in German. Pray and let God worry. But of course, he doesn't worry. We're giving it off to him. Let's make this practical. So you can pray anytime, any place, at anywhere. I love this about God. He does not have cell phone coverage issues where you're going to get out of range and out of signal. You're not going to ever go far from his presence. Psalm 139. You never get away from it. It's not like he's got a phone that's got a cord in the wall. You guys remember the phones where it was stuck to the wall, or a payphone? You only get them in certain places. No, there's 5G coverage with God. Anytime, any place, all over the world, we can talk to him. So whether you're driving in the car, keep your eyes open. But if you're driving in the car, you can pray. If you're taking a walk, some of you like to take walks in the evening. Wonderful. Or in the morning. You can talk to God all along the way as you walk. You can pray at your desk. You can pray in the middle of the night when you can't sleep. At any point, at any time, we can pray prayer and petition to the Lord. And that's great because life doesn't always afford it to be put in a little bit of a box and I only feel things at a certain time of day or I only get hit with anxiety a certain time of day. No, it's any time of the day. However, let's flip that and say there is a real benefit to focused time with God that we plan out or we carve out. For me, I do that in the mornings. When I get up and I'm eating my breakfast, I don't drink coffee, I eat cereal. That's my morning. And a bowl of cereal with milk. My kids eat it without milk. I don't know how you do that. I'm eating my cereal. I've got my Bible open. I'm reading the scripture. I'm praying about what God is saying here. I'm underlining things. I talk to him about it. I pull out my journal. And I don't know about you, but often in the morning, my mind is already thinking about what's going on that day, what's on the calendar for that day, or what I'm processing from the day before. And so my mind is busy, it's thinking, it sometimes gets distracted. It feels like spaghetti in my mind where it's just going lots of different directions. Writing it down for me is very helpful. In fact, any time where I feel really overwhelmed, I always pull out either my phone with my notes section or I pull out my journal if I have it with me. And I write down all the different things that are going on. It might be I'm overwhelmed with certain repair, something just broke. It might be some conflict I'm in the middle of. It might be I have to write a sermon. It might be that there's a problem church member that I have to meet with. Oh, no, that never happens. whatever it is, I write it down and I pray about them individually and I try to cast them onto God. 1 Peter 5:7 relates perfectly with this. Cast your cares upon him because he cares for you. So that backpack of all those rocks you've been carrying around, take them and one by one, throw them to God. I don't know if you have a good arm or not, but in your imagination, you can have like a, I don't want to say a Tom Brady arm because I don't like him, some other quarterback. You can throw them onto God. Cast your cares upon him. Why? Because he cares for you. And as you do that, specifically, one by one, for me, writing it down helps pull it apart. I can actually write out prayers to the Lord and it keeps me more focused that way. And as they all get separated apart, as I see, like, wow, no wonder I feel the way I do. Some things are really complicated. Some things are just simple to do things that I know I have to do later that day. But as I invite God into each one of those, as I trust him about each one of those, the anxiety drops. There's a confidence that as I step into my day, I'm going to be doing it with God. I've already prayed him into all the things that I'm about to face or all the things that are going on in my life, and it's helpful. Maybe you need to do that, and in fact, if you're complicated emotions and things that you're dealing with, write it down. Try to write it out to God. And as we pray, as there's petition before the Lord, we change. Our heart and minds change. I'm not going to get ahead of myself here because there's another part. By prayer and petition, present your requests to God. Is that what it says? Not entirely. By prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Well, let's talk about this idea of thanksgiving. I thought this was something that we do every November. One day, and eat turkey. And we'd say around the table what we're thankful for. That's wonderful. But that's not what Scripture means about thanksgiving. In fact, 1 Thessalonians 5, we looked at it 2 weeks ago. It says, rejoice always, pray continually, be thankful in all circumstances. Not for all circumstances, in all circumstances. For this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. The will of God for me is to be thankful in all circumstances. So this is a daily thing. This is a continual thing. This is something that as we talk about this promise of peace that will come, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, we present our requests to God. What's the deal with thanksgiving? Why does he put that right here into this part of this verse? Two big things about thanksgiving. The first is that it connects us into the character of God. See, when we're praying about our stuff and we're feeling our stuff, it's just on us, we're looking right here into all the circumstances. We're gazing into our stuff, right, Dan? There's gazing and there's glancing, right? I'm gazing at my stuff and I'm only glancing at God. But when I start to give thanks, I start gazing at God and only glancing at my worries and concerns. And so Thanksgiving turns your eyes up to God. It says, you know, God, thank you for what you're doing in my life right now. And we remember all the things that he's doing currently. We think of things he's done in our past. We just sang the song, Great is Thy Faithfulness. And that song, for me, stirs up the story of what he's done all the years of my life, how he's been faithful at every turn, every point, how he has walked with me and provided for me. The goodness of God. All my life, you have been faithful. All my life, you've been so, so good. And you're looking back at your life, and then you're seeing what he's doing around you. You begin to thank God for things that are happening in other people's lives. Then you begin to thank God for what you see in Scripture. And the story of how God, from the beginning to the end, is writing a story of salvation and redemption. And you go, oh God, you're doing an amazing work, and I'm only a little piece of that. You have given me promises, and you have a hope and a future for me. And so we thank God for those things, and all of a sudden, something has shifted inside of us. That's why Thanksgiving is put in here. Another reason why it's put in here is because, have you ever been around a bratty kid? A kid that's just like, hey, I want this, and hey, you took that from me, and hey, when are we having dinner? And hey, I need that, and you're like, oh my goodness, like, whoa, chill out, right? To a kid like that. And so, you know, you kind of even, you don't really want to give them what they're asking for because they need to learn a little lesson, right? How about when a kid comes up to you and says, thank you for helping me? Don't you go like, oh, all right, you're amazing, right on. Or a kid comes up and just says, can I sit with you for a little while? And you're like, yeah, just come on, right up here. Yeah, let's watch something together. And you just want to like sit and cuddle on the couch, right? This is a way that we begin to broaden our relationship with God. That we're not just asking for things, demanding things. We're invited to do it because he's a big God and we need him. But instead of only asking, we thank him. We praise him. We spend time with him. Hey, God, I just want to sit with you for a while. Maybe we put on some worship music, or maybe we just read through some scripture together, and we're just like, yeah, God, I just want to be with you. Doesn't that broaden and deepen your relationship with him? That's what he's after. Relationship. That's what it's all about, is relationship. So it makes perfect sense that he's like, okay, with prayer and petition, but not like a bratty kid, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. So add that element in. He's worthy of it. Then we come to the promise. What a promise. By prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God that transcends all understanding will guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. All right, so this peace that passes understanding, that transcends our ability to grasp it. It's not coming from a human source. It's not coming from our reasoning ourselves to it. It's coming from a divine source, from Christ himself. If you are a believer in Christ, you have Christ. It's like, duh. And yet we don't get, you have Christ in all of his fullness, all that he is. He's more than enough, and you are filled with the fullness of him when you draw into relationship with him. So that peace that passes all understanding begins to set itself up and guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. The word guard, it's a military term. It's one of, think of like a whole, like, what do you call a group of, maybe like a troop, or a, what do you call a group of soldiers? Think of like in the Roman days, like a centurion was over 100 soldiers, a garrison, right? Platoon, legion, yeah, all right, good. That, imagine that around your heart and your mind, just like surrounding you, okay? It's a metaphor. But the peace of God is like that. It sets itself up around you to guard you. Now, peace only comes because there's a big force blocking other stuff. Okay? Peace is not a passive thing. We're celebrating Independence Day next Sunday, where our country, because of some wars, has now freedom and peace. We've enjoyed a season of peace like many countries never experience. It's not perfect, but wars are what got us there. The strong arm of the military got that for us. The sacrifice of others. I'm leading you toward the idea that the Prince of Peace, Jesus, has fought the battles for us. He has laid himself down, sacrificed himself for us. He has fought the battle for salvation for your soul. He is going to fight the battles that continue. And because the strong legion army of Christ is around us, he's guarding your heart and mind. He's going to, if anything comes, he's going to fight it. And it's like, yeah, I'm going to trust him to do that. This is like a strong kind of idea of peace. Not like, you're just going to have peace. It's trusting in Christ. Guard your hearts and minds in who? Christ Jesus. But my favorite word in this whole promise is actually a small word. It's the word will. The peace of God that transcends all understanding will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. It will happen. It's a promise. I love that. Whenever I see a promise in Scripture, I want to take that and be like, God, you said it, and you don't lie. I'm going to trust you. Lord, do this for me. I need this. I trust you. It's not because I'm so great or anything. It's because you promised it. Lord, I'm going to go after your promise. I'm going to hold on to that. And so I will draw near to you. And you will give me peace. Do you need that today? Are you anxious today for anything? He's given us the pathway, the way forward, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, to present our requests to him. Come to him in relationship, and then his peace will guard you, your heart and your mind. This week I've been thinking of the old hymn, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. Now, I've also been having VBS songs going through my head all week. One way, Jesus, you know, so I wake up thinking those things. But the one I'm choosing to focus on this week is What a Friend We Have in Jesus. If you know the lyrics, all our sins and griefs to bear, what a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. We have a friend, Christ, who's strong enough to handle all the burdens, who cares enough to listen, to hear the small things, the big things, who desires us to come to him in relationship with him, and he wants to give us peace. He has a vested interest in us experiencing peace, because the more you grow satisfied in Christ and the more you see how amazing and awesome he is, the more the glory of the plan of salvation, the more glory to Christ. He has already said it, so take him up on it. It's a wonderful thing. What a friend we have in Jesus. So we're going to actually make this very practical as we conclude here today and give you some time to spend, not just 30 seconds, like a couple of minutes, 3, 4, 5 minutes to just draw near to Jesus. I don't know what you may be carrying, what's in your backpack today, but take those things out. Talk about them with Jesus. Give him thanks. Put this into practice. And let's see if Christ will give us peace. The song, What a Friend We Have in Jesus, is going to be played in the background. You can let that also play in your mind and heart if you know that song. But let's come to him, spend some time with him.